Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom markups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go with that Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop. A little bit later on the show, we got our colleague check-in. Grant Paulson will join us at 8:20. Nate Davis from the USA Today at 9:20. But joining us right now, as he does every Monday at this time, is our pal John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
What up, fellas? How are you?
Hey, so, JK. Global perspective.
JK.
They're 10-5.
Yeah.
How stunned are you that they are 10-5? I mean, you watched them throughout the offseason, all the mini camps, all this stuff, and maybe you expected a turnaround, but 10-5?
No, I didn't expect that. Now, I think, like, once the season started going, you're like, you know what? And then you look at the schedule, you look at how they're playing, like, and you look at number five and think, yeah, I think you can get there. At the start of the season, no. I'd be lying if I said that, because what I kept saying at that time is that a couple things. One, I really liked their plan for building a long-term, sustainable, successful team, right? Like, you could see the vision. I think it's like long-term, it's going to be good. But short-term, I had no idea because you just didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I think what you felt in the spring and the summer was that there was an unusual bond between the players, and how would that matter, right? Like, you didn't know, but you knew it was there, and you knew that Jaden Daniels would be a good player because he gave no reason to suggest otherwise. Like, I was talking to someone else about, Zach Ertz, about this too, and he had told me before the season, he's not going to be good, he's good right now. Mm-hmm. And I asked him recently, why did you say that? He goes, because there was never this up and down, with his play in training camp, it was always very consistent. And so, like, you knew all that, but you didn't know how it would all fit or when. So, you know, I've seen them finishing very well, yeah. But 10 wins I think I'd be lying. I would be lying if I said I thought not just 10, but a chance to get to 11 or 12. I mean, That's the thing. It's not just 10-7. They have a chance to get to 11 or 12.
Yeah. Could they technically still win the division?
I think they could. I think they could, based on splitting with the Eagles, then it would come down to division records. So now here's this thing with
the Eagles got to lose out.
The Eagles have the Cowboys and the Giants both at home, so I can't imagine they're going to lose out. So
So, but you know, but again, like, I've covered this team since '94. I haven't covered a team that's won 11 games the regular season. So there's no way I could go into this season expecting this team in year one after a 4-win year, where you know the roster had to be rebuilt and still needs, you know, obviously still needs a little bit of work.
Of course.
There's no way you could expect this.
All right. There's so many plays and events in this game. I mean, whether it's injury to Hurts or drop balls or penalties, right? But we were talking about, JP and I were talking about this very first segment where we were breaking down the game. Can you explain why Dan Quinn decided to go for the 4th and 11 at the end of the third quarter? I know they were down a couple scores, but how many coaches in the league would do that? I don't think any.
No, I don't think you'd have many. And I was surprised by that.
I mean, it's not 4th and 3. It's 4th and 11.
No. And it's funny because with those 4th down, I know they're situational, but there have been a couple where, you know, the 4th and 3, was it a few weeks ago, was it against Dallas, I think it was, they missed the field goal, where he thought, okay, this is the time you go for it, and then you don't. And 4th and 11, it's like, at first I saw him out there, I was like, well, is this for real? And it was, and, you know, you needed a spark. And, you know, that's a roll of dice, and it worked because you have number 5.
Yeah.
The kid's pretty good. So, but yes, I was surprised by that.
I guess Dan just felt, look, if I get, even Kenny Pickett's back there, the backup, but if I give the ball back to Philly, they're just going to keep the ball for, you know, and burn some time.
And, you know, it's funny because it didn't really, there were so many things that came up in that game and so much focus on a big picture with this team after the game, as far with like Dan Quinn, as far as like, you know, Jaden Daniels, what the win means, et cetera. There was a lot more big picture than narrowing it down. I think today when we talk to him, we'll get to that one more specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, now they had done a good job of containing Barkley in the second half, but you are running out of time, and you do have a team that can control the ball. And what he knows is in the second half, that's when Barkley really kind of wears teams down and hits the big, big runs.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like, there, you know, will you get an opportunity, not just get the ball back, but get the ball back in position to do something, you know, to really still have an impact on the game.
Yeah, that was a huge play. And then there were so many of them, but it's 30-28. Jaden throws the pick, okay, with 3 minutes to go. The guy runs it back 30 yards, so they've got the ball inside the 30. But Devontae Smith drop. He had one drop the entire year, and he drops the ball. If he doesn't score, you know, he obviously gets a first down, and they're able to burn some clock, and Washington probably doesn't get the ball back. That was just a massive play as well.
Very, very big. Listen, the Eagles have 2 losses because of drops. Barkley had the drop against Atlanta.
Right.
And you know, you're right. Like, I can't say they had a lot. They lost because of that, but it certainly didn't. It certainly would have increased their chances greatly for winning. And but the, you know, Barkley had the drop against Atlanta earlier this year that would have sealed that game. So, you know, but that stuff happens.
Yeah,
so,
it does. It's football. You know, it's unpredictable league.
Yeah, Brian Robinson hadn't fumbled inside, you know, in the red zone, then it's different, but he did. So
yeah, talk about Brian. We have him on the show every Tuesday, so we'll talk to him tomorrow. I'm hoping he's in a good spot mentally, but you could see on the sideline, you know, he had the towel over his head, and he was very upset. But talk about that, the 2 fumbles, and then essentially he was benched.
Yeah, and, you know, he still was getting carries in the second half, so it's not like he didn't go back in. He still got carries after that. He came out the next series right away. So,
but they were giving it to McNichols and Rodriguez later.
Yeah, but that's also part of what they always do anyway.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't say that was because of the fumbles. It's not like they haven't done that all year, right? Mm-hmm. So they've done that all year. And, you know, I think there are some runs that maybe are a little bit better with someone else too, and so that's always been part of their package. So those are the only 2 fumbles he's had all year,
right?
So it's, you know, it's not like,
I mean, he never fumbled in college. They always talked about he never fumbled in college,
right? And so, like, the first one, it was Jalen, you know, Jalen Carter is a freaking dude up front.
He's a beast,
and he, you know, he quickly wins and gets in there and strips the ball right away. So, like, it's not, again, if it was a perpetual problem, then I think then you would have seen what we saw with Antonio Gibson a few years ago, when the 1 year where he was dropping it a lot. But yeah, no, I wouldn't say he was benched, because, like I said, they've always given McNichols and Rodriguez chances, and they've used 3 backs all year in the run game. So, you know, so the run game just didn't work at all. I mean, that's to me is the biggest problem, and it's 2 weeks in a row for the running backs. where it hasn't worked. And that's, to me, a concern now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the run game has been Jaden Daniels, which is fine because he can do it, but you'd like to see them be able to, you know, be able to, you're going to have to win. You don't want to have to rely on Daniels every week to have to do the things he's been doing, even though he can do them.
Talking to John Keim, ESPN.com, NFL insider, covers the Commanders. Speaking of the running backs, they should get Austin Ekeler back at one point. Where are we at with Ekeler?
Don't know yet. And I know he was out of practice a week or two ago, but don't know yet. So okay. I think that's always a hard one, too. When you go on IR with a concussion, like this, you just.
Yeah.
You know,
I would say he's probably not going to come back. I would say he's probably going to come back in the playoffs, but
we just don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it's true.
Hard to even speculate.
All right, let me ask you about Lattimore. Your thoughts on his performance? He had three penalties, a couple back-to-back pass interferences. I thought the second call was dicey, but some of those calls on both sides, the roughing the passer on Carter when he just pushed Jaden was ridiculous. But to talk about Lattimore's performance, and then also, you know, he goes out of the game with a hamstring.
Yeah, and so we'll don't have an update on the injury. We'll know more later today, and it's just troubling when a guy who has a history of hamstring issues has a hamstring issue, and so like that definitely is troubling. The couple thoughts on that matchup. One, you're right. Like I didn't the first PI, the long one, you know, okay, that's legit. The second one was kind of iffy.
Yeah.
And I guess Greg Olson on the telecast was saying that, you know, was kind of complaining about that call.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's a very one of the things I like about the Eagles, how aggressive they are, and they're not going to back down from anybody. And you saw the Saints basically back down from throwing at Lattimore last week because they know him. They don't have quarterbacks who have confidence. They didn't have A.J. Brown. Well, these guys have A.J. Brown. You want to get him the ball, and you have a good quarterback in Jalen Hurts, so you're going to try and, you know, shoot. Pickett was going at him too. So that was going to be a tough matchup, and he's just a very good receiver. But this is why you have Lattimore. And there are a couple of times, like even on the first slant that was thrown to him, he jams Brown, and that disrupts the play. And, like, I haven't seen anybody here jam him like that. Mm-hmm. But he did do well against him. And I think the one thing that I would say for Lattimore's perspective, that an intense competitor, and you can see it in that matchup, that I think I would worry about other corners being defeated by a game like that, I don't think he would be at all.
Right.
So I think that's like, then a bigger picture, it's what they quote unquote the dog mentality. I think that's what you see. But A.J. Brown, you know, got the best of him yesterday. So, you know, and he's a very good receiver and he won that battle. But there were a couple of times where he broke up some plays too with it, but Brown had some big plays and, you know, there you go.
So your thoughts?
But I would say, like, I'm sorry, like, yeah. like with Lattimore, like you see things that make him a different corner compared to what we've seen here.
Oh, he's clearly an upgrade.
So that's why I say that, and I think he's like if there are other corners you would think it would open the door to questions. With him, it's just like, okay, this guy won the battle today. Move on to next week and see. But the hamstring is a concern. It would be a concern for me because again, he's got a history of it.
Can't imagine what the atmosphere was like yesterday at the stadium.
Oh, it was really good.
Was it crazy?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's been fun for a while because of what this team is doing and because of Daniels, right? You know, I think people just believe there's a chance. And it's funny because I was surprised early on in the game when you get down by two scores and the crowd was still in it. And I'm like, in the past, that would not have been the case because you just kind of knew, right? And I even kind of joked in the press box, like, this felt like a throwback game and not in a good way, right? Because the way they looked early on, I was like, geez, this is a disaster. And yet the crowd kind of stayed in it, and obviously the team did. But, yeah, it was obviously when they scored the touchdown to go ahead, it was kind of incredible. So been a good atmosphere. And the one thing I'll be curious to see is in the future – how much are they able to reduce the visiting fans like a Philly fan base? Because there are obviously a lot of Philly fans there. You know, after a year like this and with Daniels, people knowing what they have, how many more season tickets can you sell and start to reduce that number and create a better home field advantage for yourself? They've done well at home, too. That's the other key, too. Like, you know, they haven't played well at home in a long time.
Yeah.
John, so we had a caller mention Luke McCaffrey, and I just went and looked at the field position of the drives where they had kickoff returns. I mean, part of it was that this kicker doesn't kick it out of the end zone. And maybe it's by design, or maybe he doesn't have the leg. The guy doesn't have, you know, 50-yard field goals until yesterday. He hit a 50-yarder or a 51-yarder. I just looked at it. They started Washington when the other team kicked it off at the 40. Philadelphia's 43, the 33, the 37, the 39, the 35, and the 43. I mean, just shorter fields for Washington all day.
Yeah.
And that's a great point, and it's phenomenal. And yeah, the kickoffs, and it were good returns by McCaffrey and just like puzzling short kickoffs by them. And that's a great point. And that was the hard part early on is that they had some really good field position. They weren't really taking advantage of it as much, but they got it all game. So yeah, that I felt like I was on some of those the kickoffs. It was like when I'm on the golf course and you got 120 yards of the hole and you keep hitting it short of the green. Like that's what that looked like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's just like those were just short. But McCaffrey did a good job, and the nice thing for them is with Eckler out, like that's where Eckler excelled as well. So for them to get that from McCaffrey and to find a way for him to contribute like that was good.
Just another injury thing. I'm curious, where are they at with Seibert? Is he going to end up coming back as the kicker? Zane didn't have any field goals yesterday. It was 4-for-4 and extra points. I'm curious what's going to happen with kicker moving forward.
Well, I think when he's healthy, he'll be the guy. But yeah, we don't that part. I don't know what his status is at this point. So again, another thing to start talking about this week. But, you know, it's funny because there's so much stuff that's been going on around this team with, kickers' wives giving birth on the same day and the RFK stuff and this thing and that thing. It's like, Austin Seibert's still around, too.
It's been a crazy year,
It has been. And, not in the way it had been in the past. It's been a better crazy. And just think about, like, what happened this weekend that, it's almost like there's been – 2+ decades of black clouds lifted and someone's kind of finally smiling on this franchise where you get, the bill for RFK passes or it gets to the president's desk to be signed. Right. And then you have this improbable comeback. And I know Jalen Hurts was out. They hung up and I tweeted this but they hung up 36 points on what a defense that I would consider as maybe the best in the league, despite having 5 turnovers. And having a 6th possession where you turn the ball over at midfield on downs, right? Like, that's kind of incredible that they hung up, that they scored that much.
Right.
With no running game.
Yeah. Teams that turned the ball over 5 times compared to 1. I know Philly had 2 fumbles. They had the fumble at the end, but I don't even count that. So it was basically 5-1. They probably lose 99.9% of those games.
Yeah, the last time they won, they did win with 5 turnovers in the game against Dallas. Was it 22 years ago? I think it's like 3 times since 1983. So it's kind of hard to do, and especially like that's a really really good team. It's not like you're playing Tennessee and you just you can't beat anybody with 5. Well, you just beat the team that's playing for home field advantage in the NFC and maybe can win a Super Bowl. And I know Eagles fans say, well, Jalen Hurts, well, yeah, that's true. The Eagles still scored 33 points. That's probably that's above their average. And this team hung up 36 despite. This is like, you're the basketball fans, like if your team, I'm a Cavs fan. If the Cavs turn it over 25 times and score 130 points, you're like, holy crap, how did that happen?
Right.
Well, I keep pointing this out, John, that a week ago, the Eagles held the Ravens to 13 points. The Ravens. The Ravens and Lamar Jackson, they held them to 13 points.
And they scored 36 with 5. And it's the defense did a really good job. And it's funny because I know, again, Jalen Hurts, but it's not like he hasn't been criticized for his passing this year. Where he excels is when you get outside the pocket, he can make more plays, and he's bigger, so he can break tackles. And but they did a really good job on Barkley in the second half. It was 16 for 27. Like they
were able to focus on him. Yeah.
And like, right. because the line is still the same. Like, they were running well in the first half after Hurts went out. You know, they have the best line in football. They have a talented group of pass catchers, and they have the best running back in football. So, you know, there's still a lot to contend with. It wasn't like they're facing Garrett Gilbert, who had been here for 2 days.
That's true.
John, man, enjoy it.
All right. We'll talk.
10-5, first time since 1991.
Still got a big one on Sunday, but enjoy it.
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys. You too.
It's John Keim. We'll talk to Grant Paulson a little bit later in the show for our colleague check-in. That's coming up at 8:20. Nate Davis, NFL writer for USA Today, at 9:20. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Where are the Commanders now in the playoff?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Picture. Welcome back. It is a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Valdez, play the music. We got to play the music.
And we're going to keep taking your calls throughout the show, so don't worry.
800-636-1067 is the number. Kind of wanted to focus a little bit on where Washington is in the playoff picture and kind of go through the teams that are ahead of them, because right now Washington still would remain the 7 seed in the NFC. Mm-hmm. But let's start at the top. So heading into yesterday's games, you had 3 teams with identical records. The Lions, the Vikings, and, of course, the Eagles. The Lions now, the 1 seed at 13-2. They got a tiebreaker. They beat up on the Bears 34-17. Jared Goff, 3 touchdown passes. You know, it was a big loss that they lost David Montgomery, but they still have Jahmyr Gibbs. He ran for 109 yards.
And Montgomery says he will come back for the playoffs.
Jameson Williams had a long touchdown catch. He went for 5 catches, 143 yards. They had a trick play where Jared Goff pretended he was stumbling.
Right.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
It was a fake fumble play.
Jahmyr Gibbs went to the ground as if it was a fumble.
Yep.
And next thing you know, Goff pops up, throws a long touchdown pass to the tight end.
Right, to LaPorta.
So,
yep.
Ben Johnson firing all cylinders.
Chicago's lost 9 straight.
They haven't won since the Hail Mary.
Correct.
They were 4-2.
Yep.
On the precipice of 5-2. And that donk corner started talking smack during the play to the fans. And they haven't won a game since.
Yeah. Can't make that stuff up, man. It was crazy. But, yeah, it was big win for the Lions, and they're still battling the Vikings for that division.
Lions, your 1 seed, still could lose the division, which is incredible, because the Vikings are 13-2 as well. They beat the Seahawks 27-24. I mean, the Sam Darnold story is pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Darnold, journeyman, throws another 3 touchdown passes yesterday. He's up to 32 touchdown passes on the season with just 11 interceptions. Kind of look up his best season prior to this was his second season in the league when he was with the Jets. He had 19 touchdown passes with 13 interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, you know, was with San Francisco backup. The year before that was with Carolina, lost his starting job. They ultimately draft Bryce Young because it didn't work out there. Obviously didn't work out with the Jets. His last season as a starter with the Jets, he had 9 touchdowns, 11 picks.
Look, he's 27 years old. He's been in the league, I don't know, maybe 7 years, and he's been with 4 teams. All right? So he's bounced around, and he's with his 4th team and having his best year. Props to Kevin O'Connell, too, because he's obviously made him what he is, and he's got 2 legit receivers, including Justin Jefferson.
But right now, they would be the 5 seed because the Lions have the tiebreaker.
Now, they still play each other in Week 18.
That's huge. That could be for the one seed overall.
Correct.
Right now, you know, your division winners are going to be 1 through 4. So right now you've got the Rams as the division leader in the West.
Yep.
They are 9-6. Not a great game for them yesterday to get the win. I had some fantasy remorse because I started Puka Nacua and he only gave me 5 points fantasy-wise. But they get the win against the Jets 19-9. And then the Falcons, wow. What a day for the Falcons defense. They had a couple of, they had a pick six.
They had two.
They had two scores defensively. The Falcons are now your division leader because Tampa loses last night to the Dallas Cowboys. So top four seeds, Lions 1, Eagles 2, Rams 3, Falcons 4. You got the Vikings at 5, and the Packers play tonight are the 6 seeds. So
the Packers can clinch a playoff spot tonight by beating the Saints, which they will at home.
Right now, if the playoffs were today, the Commanders would be facing the Philadelphia Eagles.
In Philly, yep.
So we will see how it plays out. AFC picture, just to fill you in, KC, man, they just keep winning. They're 14-1. Like, everybody wants to question them. Everybody wants to say they're not as good as teams like the Bills or the Ravens, but they're 14-1.
They just know how to win. Great coach. Mahomes just makes plays. Their defense has been spectacular, especially at home. You're right. They just get it done.
Bills are
they're not you know, splashy. They're not beating teams, you know, 41-28.
Yeah.
They're just beating teams by one scores, but that's all they need.
Bills are the 2 seed right now at 12-3. They still could potentially get the 1 seed, but you need KC to lose both games, the Bills to win out. Steelers, who lose to the Ravens, still remain atop that division because of tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
They're 10-5. Ravens are 10-5. They're the highest rated wild card in the AFC. Texans at 9-6, probably your worst division leader. Chargers 9-6. Broncos 9-6. So those are the 6 and 7 seeds. The teams that are still alive in the AFC, Colts, Dolphins, Bengals. Bengals, it'd be interesting if the Bengals got in because they're hot. They score a lot of points. Joe Burrow had another 3 touchdown passes. I believe he's up to 39 on the season.
I mean, he's having an incredible year. Just think, if they were in the wild card hunt and they were probably going to make the playoffs, he would be in the MVP discussion.
No question about it.
With Allen and with Lamar.
So again, going back to the NFC, Commanders get that big win against the Eagles, and to me, the most impressive thing we've been talking about throughout the morning, and we'll weave in your calls here at 800-636-1067, is Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels gives you a chance in every game. 5 touchdown passes, overcomes the 5 turnovers. Now, he did have 2 interceptions, but just huge runs like that 4th-and-11 we've been talking about all morning. He runs for 81 yards. He gives you a chance. And the thing that we've kind of undersold today, and I get it, because Jaden's going to be front and center, all the storylines we've talked about. If you just look big picture, I just went to the statistics, team statistics.
Uh-huh.
They have the number 10 defense in the league. They had the worst defense in the NFL last season. It wasn't even close. They had a horrific defense. And I know it's hard to tout them when they give up 33 points, but that defense, being in the top 10, that is huge. Think about the turnaround this team has had, mostly because of Jaden Daniels, but Joe Witt and the defense, number 10, that's pretty impressive.
Yep, and like you said, they were last in turnovers last year. I believe they were near the bottom, if not last, in point differential. I mean, they just sucked. They were just a bad football team, bad organization, and they're completely different, mainly because of Daniels, but you got to give the coaching staff big props. And Adam Peters, because they put guys in place, they got a system, they worked the system. These guys are professionals. They've got veterans, especially on the defensive side, that can lead. And it's just a different team. It's a completely different team.
Falcons are interesting because that, of course, is their next opponent. Penix plays yesterday, and he played pretty well.
Yeah. He threw a pick, but that wasn't his fault.
Wasn't on him. Kyle Pitts dropped it.
Correct.
I mean, maybe it's not the best decision to throw it in there, because the defender's right there, but it really
he bobbled the ball. And
yeah, you've said for years that should be a fumble.
Should be a fumble. But the Giants are dead. I mean, they've given up top to bottom, they've given up. There's going to be huge changes with the Giants. Two pick sixes. And the game means it's huge for the Falcons because they're trying to win that division. Whereas Tampa, with that loss yesterday, they've been swept by the Falcons, so they lose the tiebreaker, the head-to-head tiebreaker. So the Falcons, huge game against Washington. The Buccaneers, huge game this week. And then, of course, you mentioned the other teams that are trying to get the one seed and the home field advantage throughout, and the bye. So there's just some massive games this weekend.
Big loss by the Buccaneers there against the Cowboys.
I didn't see any of this game. So.
I watched some of it. Baker has two touchdown passes, did have an interception. Cooper Rush, pretty good game manager. They didn't have any running game, the Cowboys.
Right.
We were talking about what the running backs did for Washington. When you take away Jaden Daniels, they averaged about 2 yards a carry. The running backs for the Dallas Cowboys averaged 1.6 yards per carry.
Mm.
20 carries for 31 yards. But CeeDee Lamb had a big game. They end up sealing the game on a fumble late in the game
by White.
Yeah, by Rashad White.
Well, and the interception that Mayfield threw, it looked like the receiver had it, and then I don't know what DB it was for the Cowboys, but he kind of just took it away in the end zone. So that easily could have been another touchdown for the Bucs. So that was pretty big. 26-24, losing at Dallas. Even though Dallas is not playing for anything, they were officially eliminated. But playing in Dallas won't be easy for Washington if Washington has to win that game.
Look, in all likelihood, the Commanders are going to go in as a wild card team and play the Philadelphia Eagles. It'd take a miracle to win the division, right?
Yep.
Pointed out the Eagles games.
They play the Giants. Giants have given up.
We want to shift the conversation to a playoff game. Watching yesterday's game, did that change your perspective on what Washington could do? Should they play a team like Philadelphia? They might play somebody else, but you just saw them finally knock off one of the big boys, right? The knock against Washington, even at 9-5, was, well, who have they beat? They haven't beaten anybody.
Right.
Well, now you just played the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, one might counter that argument by saying, well, Jalen Hurts didn't play most of the game.
Right.
That's true. But Washington still put up 36 points against the Eagles' defense, which currently ranked number one in the league in terms of yardage.
Yeah.
That's a defense, I've said it 5 times already today, I'll keep saying it, that held the Baltimore Ravens to 13 points.
Yeah.
You know they scored 19 points, right?
Oh, it was 19? My bad. I keep saying 13.
Yeah, well, I know.
Either way, you should have corrected me the first time. They held the Ravens down, the most explosive offense in the league.
Well, it was not a good day for the Eagles' defense, and Jaden had a lot to do with that, especially running the ball. I mean, to allow that 4th-and-11 was big, but the secondary was getting beat a lot, especially down the sidelines and certainly in the end zones in the red zone. Excuse me. I don't know how I would feel about Washington. We kind of have to wait and see what Hurts' injury is all about, because I don't expect him to be out multiple weeks, but if he is, that completely changes what the Eagles are, right? Even if they're playing at home. But the Eagles do get the Cowboys and they get the Giants at home, so I think the Eagles most definitely are going to win the division. So if Washington has to play in Philly, it's going to be a much taller task. Again, remember, Washington, even though they put up a bunch of points, they still turn the ball over 5 times, man. Teams should not win games like that.
Yeah, it's a little fluky. I mean, Brian Robinson, he's not going to fumble it twice.
He's not.
On a regular basis.
But he did. So that's what I'm saying. So Philly should have taken advantage of that, and they couldn't in the second half. They were kicking field goals and allowing touchdowns. That's the reason they lost. So Nick Sirianni, they got to clean that thing up in Philly quickly, because you can't force 5 turnovers and then not score touchdowns, especially with the field position they had.
Here's the thing. Packers play the Saints tonight. They certainly could lose, but you wouldn't expect them to lose.
Saints are playing a bunch of backups.
All right. So the Packers at the 6th seed after this week, I think they would still be the 6th seed, but they close out with the Lions, right?
The Packers? Possibly, yeah. Let me see. Let me see what their schedule is. They do, yes.
So they close out with the Lions. So if Washington were to win out, they could leapfrog the Packers and beat.
No. I'm sorry. They close out with the Vikings and Bears.
Okay.
So they play the Vikings in Minnesota and they close out with the Bears. Not the Lions. The Lions close out with the Vikings in Week 18, which could be for the division.
Washington would, right now as the 7th seed, would face the Eagles.
Right now.
But if the Packers slide back, then you have a different opponent. And then all of a sudden, you really start thinking that's a favorable matchup because, I mean, I'm not saying it's a gimme against the Rams, but it's a lot different than playing the Eagles, and you just beat the Eagles.
Yeah, let's see how it plays out. I mean, like I said, there's still a few teams that have huge games with playoff implications and seeding implications. So let's just see how it plays out. I mean, Washington playing Atlanta. Atlanta obviously needs that game. And then Washington would close out in Dallas. And maybe it doesn't mean anything. Maybe they could rest some guys because they've just locked themselves into the 7th seed. But how do you feel about if they had to play Philly? All right, let's just say Hurts is back. And they had to play Philly on the road in the playoffs. How do you feel about that matchup now that you've seen them twice? You know, you're obviously always familiar with a division opponent, and you just beat them, and you put up a bunch of points. You probably feel a little bit better. I'm not saying you feel great because you turn the ball over five times and a lot of fluky things happen in the game, but you certainly feel better.
No question about it. 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on it. Did yesterday's game change your perspective on the playoffs? Let me tell you about Main Street Bank. Bank local, cheer local, and business every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank, a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Welcome back on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. It's JP and Bish Bucks hanging out, talking about the Commanders' 36-33 win. We just went around the NFL and gave you kind of the playoff picture during the Junkies Blitz, which was brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of outdoor furniture, hot tubs, swim spas, pool tables. Dan Quinn was asked about this and whether or not Washington could hang with all the top teams. Here's what Coach Quinn said.
Do you think this group believes it could beat any team anywhere? Doesn't matter. They have a chance.
We're getting closer to that. We need more, honestly, to do that. And today was a step in the right direction, but, you know, they weren't at full strength either. And so, you know, I'm not going to dismiss that. That's important to know. But we're gaining on it. But we need these, you know, moments. I would say this is a tough team. They're hardened. They've been in some fights as a, you know, group that's developing and growing. And it helps a lot to talk about, you know, the captains that were for this game with Reeves and Wagner and McLaurin. Like, these are real competitors.
What I would say is, and we're going to take your calls, 800-636-1067, is if they play the Eagles again, the Eagles are going to be the favorite. And I would expect Philadelphia to win. But I think Washington can win. I think Washington can compete with these top teams, mostly because of Jaden Daniels. And when you go back and you think about that three-game losing stretch where they lost the Steelers, one-point game, 28-27, they're right there, could have gone either way. You have the spot, right? The spot, which was controversial. Right. They might have won the game if the spot went the other way and they get the first down. Instead, they don't. Then you lose to the Eagles 26-18, and that was a game which, all right, Saquon took over in the fourth quarter, but they were right there after three quarters.
Yeah.
And you could have said that it could have gone either way. And then the Cowboys game, okay, just went to hell. And that actually could have gone either way. But let's, I mean, to me, they showed that they can compete when they face the Steelers and Eagles. It's nice that they actually got a win against one of these top teams like they did. I don't think they'll be the favorite. And I don't think they should be favored against these top teams.
Of course they won't.
But you definitely can hang.
Wild cards in the seventh spot aren't going to be favored when they go on the road to take on a two seed. So it's not going to happen.
I don't think you can dismiss the timing of the win. For instance, if they would have beaten the Ravens, it the luster of it kind of wears off if you're 1-4 against teams that are over 500. as opposed to winning in week 16 heading into the playoffs. It's kind of more of a momentum builder when you do it in week 16 than when you do it in week, what was it, 5 or week 6?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the timing of the win is definitely helpful for the locker room.
And it's a division win, which is huge.
They went from losing 3 in a row to winning 3 in a row. Now, you stopped over the Titans, and I don't know how you guys talked about it last week. Could have lost the Saints.
Absolutely.
2-point conversion away from losing. So you kind of got to put it all together. I think they are about where they are.
Yep.
They're a wild card team. They're not a perfect team.
Of course not.
I think the defense has played much better than anybody expected all season long. I know it's hard to say that after you give up 33 points. But overall, you have a top 10 defense, and you have this dynamic quarterback, which changes everything. Now, there was a little period of time where I thought, well, maybe defenses have kind of figured out this offense, and we started talking about the cliff, and that whole narrative. But that's changed. I was surprised. I don't think the Eagles had a spy on Jaden.
Didn't look like it. I'm not sure how much they do that against, you know, dual threat quarterbacks, but maybe they just feel like they can just bring that front four because they got some studs on the front four. They got stud safeties. So if they do want to try and blitz you, they can get to you. But you're right. I didn't notice that. But you'd have to look at the all 22 to see if they had a spy at all.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Has your perspective changed on the Commanders' playoff chances after yesterday's big win? Let's go to Andre Woodbridge. Dre, what's going on? Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. Not really, man. I think we're going to make the playoffs, but in terms of winning it, I mean, even the coach said it himself, they need more. And I'll tell you what, one of the highlight plays, a couple of things that just stood out. And, Bish, you kept on saying it the entire week, like the talent. And, I watched the first Philly game, but this game, I don't know what happened. That dude Davis in the defensive lineman, Philly got some huge players in that defensive lineman. And that play when they did the aerial shot showing how Carter just demolished Biotis by himself and got like a loss, or it might have been that tackle for a fumble. I think ultimately looking at this game, we cannot run the ball against Philly just because of the matchup. And, who knows what the weather's going to be like 3-4 weeks from now in that playoff game. I think the game plan has to be, short passes and pass the ball, because apparently that's what we could do against Philly. Running the ball, no. So if it's one of those games where you kind of have to run the ball or bad weather game, I don't know. But at the end of the day, the coach said it himself, good game, good win, but we need more. And, I think we need more if we're going to make a big push. Now, it is football. It's oblong ball. You can have a couple lucky bounces and breaks, kind of like we did yesterday. But ultimately, a win is a win. So,
They had a little more success running the football in the first game. I just went back and looked at the box score.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Robinson in the first game, look, he didn't have a huge game.
60 yards?
Ran for 63 yards on 16 carries. So it was just under 4 yards a carry, 3.9 yards per carry from Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
And, the other factor is if they get Eckler back. John Keim didn't want to go and say it. It's all speculation. Maybe he's held out of the playoffs, but I would expect Eckler to come back, which changes the equation a little bit.
Well, wasn't Eckler big in that first game? I think he was pretty big in that first game. Maybe not running the ball, but I think receiving. You'd have to go back and look at that box. But
yeah, Eckler in the first matchup against
the Eagles. Did he have 8 or 9 catches?
He only had 2 carries for 7 yards, but yes, he had 8 catches, 89 yards. And no, he didn't find the end zone, but he had 89 yards.
Yeah, he was huge in the passing game. Yes.
Yeah, it definitely changes the equation. All right, we're going to come back, take more of your calls. We want to start talking playoff perspective. Did the win yesterday change your opinion of what this team could do in the playoffs? 800-636-1067 is the number. Play the music, Valdez. It's a Victory Monday, and now we're actually talking playoffs, just a couple weeks away.